The Kickoff on Radio City Talk. Your one stop for Merseyside sport.
This is Radio City Talk.
Tony Scott in the studio. We've got Jay on the line. Morning, Jay.
Morning, Steve. Morning, Tony.
And also Mickey is about to join us in a moment or two. Just before Mickey joins the conversation, very happy birthday to the Anfield Rap. 5 years on air with us on Radio City Talk. And they posted a lovely little piece last night, which is a slight sort of tangent, about it being 40 years since Super Sub David Fairclough sunk the French. And they put the newspaper back page, which was, "And Dynamite Dave, Super Sub again." But 40 years, Jay, since Liverpool beat St Etienne 3-1 over those two legs and Fairclough sunk the French. Well, what a great piece of history.
Yeah, it certainly was. I was minus 2 years old then. So, but it is one that lives long in the memory, doesn't it? And it's still a special time now when people speak about it and when you see the clips of it. You know, obviously it was a special time, but we had our own little moment of that, didn't we, with Steven Gerrard against Olympiacos.
Let's hope there's more of those to come. Morning, Mickey.
Morning, mate. You well?
Yeah, thanks for your company today. Let's start with the Blues. How do you feel Ronald Koeman is handling the situation with all these players who won't sign contracts?
In the way that you'd expect, probably Ronald Koeman to handle it, mate, very, very calmly. Obviously, you know, the big news this week is, you know, McCarthy's coming out and saying that he's not going to sign the contract. That's currently off the table. And as I say, he stayed completely calm about it while everyone else is sort of worrying because, you know, as he turned around and said, the lad's got 2 years left. So he's, you know, he's not worried.
Mickey, you sound like you're on Mars. Move somewhere else. Go on, have another go. Are you there?
Yeah.
That's a bit better.
Is that better?
Yes, that's better. Go on, continue. So he's dealt with it brilliantly. Is Lukaku going to stay beyond the summer?
Oh, I will say, I think he will stay, yeah. I think he'll sign a contract. I think he'll probably get what he wants, which is probably what he's due. You know, he's one of the best strikers in the world at the moment, and I think the offer that's on the table, although it's a record offer for Everton as a football club, I think it's £140,000 a week. You know that he could double that at least if he was to move on. The lad's ambitious. He wants to play Champions League. All that's wrong about this whole situation is the timing of it. Obviously, you know, where would we want to push on up the league? We've got 10 games to play. You know, we should have just sort of held off for the next 2 or 3 months and then done all his talking in the summer when there's going to be lots of speculation anyway. So it's the timing that's wrong. But I certainly think Ronald Koeman's handled it well.
That's quite a statement, isn't it, from Mickey there? He's one of the best strikers in the world. I think Ron believes that. Have you read his comments? What do you reckon, so?
Lukaku believes it. Ronald Koeman believes it. I think Ronald Koeman...
Does Ronald believe he's one of the best strikers in the
world? He went on record, Ronald Koeman, a couple of weeks ago and said that he's the best striker he's seen, actually seen, playing-wise, managing-wise. That's some statement compared to the strikers that Ronald Koeman has actually played with and managed.
Jay, do you believe this?
Lukaku?
Yeah.
You know what? You can't knock him. Is he 23, 24 now? And his record speaks for itself, doesn't it? I think he's a little bit limited in the centre-forward role. I mean, you can ask Evertonians. Some of them aren't that happy with him. Apart from the goal-scoring side of things, but his all-round game's not great, is it? But, you know, I think he is a special talent. There's no doubt about it. And the money that they paid for him, £28 million a couple of seasons ago, no matter what, even if he does go in the summer, they're going to make a healthy profit. But, you know, like Liverpool had a similar situation with Suarez, didn't they, a few years ago? You know, we bought him for, what, £23 million and we made a healthy profit, but you just don't want to lose your best players. But unfortunately, if a Champions League club comes in, or in our case, someone like a Barcelona or Real Madrid, there's not really much you can do about it. You can hold out as best as possible, but you can. But, you know, at the end of the day, if the player makes it known he wants to go, I just think sometimes it's best to move on and then just plan for the future.
It seems to happen, Mickey, with alarming regularity now, whether it be John Stones, Luis Suarez, Fernando Torres, now Romelu Lukaku. It just seems to be happening too much in the modern game that players are trying to force their own destination on the football club.
Yeah, I mean, player power has just completely and utterly took over, Steve, hasn't it? And as you know, as Jay was just saying, then it's becoming so hard for, you know, there's no loyalty. I think, you know, you go back into, you were talking about it on the Blue Room about like your favourite Everton strikers, past and present. And we talked about, like, you know, the likes of Duncan Ferguson, Bob Latchford and that. And I think them days are gone because there's players there now. They don't have the connection with the fans. They're just there to do a job and, you know, obviously use Everton and the likes of Liverpool as a stepping stone onto the likes of your Barcelona's, your Real Madrid's. And unfortunately, that's just, you know, as sad as it is, that's just the way that the game's gone. And as I say, it's, you know, I have no problem with Lukaku wanting to, he's come out and stated he wants to play Champions League football. The lad is ambitious. I think, if I'm honest, if that's where he should be playing, he should be playing in the Champions League. It's just, as I say, that it's a pity that he hasn't held on for a bit because, you know, I think we're moving on, you know what I mean, with there's bigger and better things to come from Everton, obviously with the new stadium that's coming, the influx of money that's come from Moshiri. I think we're going to get there, but I just don't think we're probably going to get there as fast as what Lukaku wants us to.
Mickey, just a quick one on the Lukaku situation. What do you think of his comments regarding to questioning the ability of Everton to sign players in the last two transfer windows? I think it's quite harsh to say that Everton's ability and they're not ambitious enough for him. I think it's quite harsh on where they've come in the space of 12 months. I think Romelu Lukaku was using this as an excuse to go in the summer.
Do you know what, though, Tom? That's what everyone's thinking, isn't it? I think as fans, we're all in the same boat. I think a lot of fans agree with him. You know, a couple of transfer window, especially the one before last, was awful, wasn't it? You know, the money had come in, and I think, you know, we signed Enner Valencia on the last day, which has been a little bit of a disaster, hasn't it? So I think what he's saying is only what a lot of Evertonians have been thinking. Whether he should have come out and said it is a completely different ballgame. Obviously, I don't think Ronald Koeman's happy with him, is he, for coming out and saying it? And again, it's Lukaku, isn't it? He seems to sort of open his gob. He usually saves it, doesn't he, for the international breaks, but obviously it's coming.
Here's one due next week.
He is, yeah. So I think there's got to be a bit more to come, I would imagine. But yeah, you're right. You know, it's something that he shouldn't have come out and said, but it's definitely something that a lot of the fans are thinking.
It's funny you're saying that. Christophe Terreur, the Belgian football expert, was on yesterday. He said that. He said, international break next week. He said, we've definitely got a few sort of column inches with Romelu because he'll be out talking.
Christophe will be first in line as soon as he gets off that plane, waiting for him with his pen and paper.
I love it. Say more. Right, let's look at Liverpool. So Man City this weekend. How poor were they? Did you watch the game midweek in the Champions League, Jay?
Yeah, I did. They only started playing when they were 2-0 down, didn't they, the second half? They were unfortunate, though, really, because they had quite a few opportunities, didn't they, to put the tie to bed. But, you know, Monaco are a very good side to watch, aren't they? I don't think they're great defensively, but, you know, they're going forward, they're fantastic, and in the middle of the park as well, some very creative playmakers in that team. And, you know, it was a great tie, wasn't it, over the two legs? But, you know, City just fell a little bit short, and, you know, I'm expecting a reaction from them on Sunday against Liverpool.
Well, I'm seeing this headline from James Pearce in The Echo. It says, the Reds should follow Monaco principle on how to beat City. But I don't think it's that straightforward, is it?
Well, no. I mean, obviously, we beat City, didn't we, on New Year's Eve. And it was a tense game, I thought. Liverpool got an early goal. And then we sort of, like, just contain them, which Liverpool don't tend to do that often against other sides. It's normally, like, we make silly mistakes and concede sloppy goals and we rely on our pace and our power and our attacking instincts, really, and with the counter-attacking that we've got. But in that game, Liverpool played a little bit differently to the way they have been most of the season. I can't see us replicating that against Man City on Sunday, though. I just think they're going to come out the traps, aren't they, quick. And that could be right up Liverpool's street, though, because we can hit them on the counter-attack then with Mane's pace and obviously the creative players of Coutinho, Lallana and Firmino. So, you know, it could be a very open game and I'm expecting plenty of goals.
Well, that should suit Liverpool, shouldn't it? If it's an open game.
It should do, shouldn't it? You're thinking if the teams that Liverpool have played in the top six this season, they flew at Liverpool, Tottenham, Arsenal, and Liverpool have picked them off on the break. Suits Liverpool down to the ground. It's the teams that sit back and let Liverpool have the ball. They're the teams who Liverpool are struggling to find a goal past them. So you can see if this is going to suit Liverpool, this game. Whether they get a result or not is another thing. But the type of fixture will suit Jurgen Klopp. And Guardiola's got to go for it. He's been bombed out the European Cup. He's got to make sure that Manchester City don't fall out that top four. And he's got to make sure that, listen, the pressure's on now. There's going to be a demanding home crowd there on Sunday. Baiting for blood, really, that Liverpool are there for the taking. And if Pep Guardiola doesn't get a result, the pressure's then going to turn on him then.
Liverpool will get opportunities, Jay. We know that. It's a shame that Jordan Henderson isn't back. They're probably going to make do with the team that played against Burnley, but played so poorly. But they can't put a similar sort of performance in.
Well, that's it. I mean, Jordan Henderson, people say that he's not that good, he's not great, he shouldn't be captain and what have you, but he's a vital cog in this Liverpool side, and when he doesn't play, it's very evident for me. I know we didn't really miss him too much against Arsenal, but the Burnley game, we certainly did miss him, and people are saying about Emre Can, and he's in contract dispute, and saying he wants to stay, and whatever his demands are, and what have you, but the jury's still out with Emre Can. I know he scored a very good goal against Burnley, which proved to be the winning goal, but I just think his overall performance was pretty poor, and he doesn't really suit that role for me, because I think, personally, he's too slow. He turns like a ship, and this is the problem when you look at this Man City team. They're very free-flowing, aren't they? They've got a lot of creative players in the middle of the park with De Bruyne, and you've got Silva. The wide players are Sané and Sterling. So, for me, it's a little bit of a concern. I think in midfield, they could get a little bit overrun without Jordan Henderson, with Can being in there. So, I think it's very important for Wijnaldum and Lallana to have a very good game, because, you know, we know the work ethic that they've got. They do get round the pitch very well, and they're going to have to help Emre Can out, I think, on Sunday.
Right, quick shout out to some of the younger players that have been given call-ups for the national squads. Everton have done brilliant yesterday in terms of the number of players, Mickey, that have are now involved in the under-19s especially. What's the full list, Tony?
I think there was five Everton players in that team.
So you're talking Luckman, Jonjo Kenny,
Kieran Dow, Connolly.
Yeah, Callum Connolly.
Leave it with me.
Can you add to that, Mickey?
Tom Davis.
Most obvious of the lot.
Unbelievable. Liverpool have got them as well. Trent Alexander-Arnold, of course, Jay's in the under-19s. I think if you look across the spectrum of the under-23s, under-21s, under-19s, there's loads of Merseyside players involved, particularly Everton players there, Mickey. That bodes well for the future.
Oh, definitely. I mean, and the young lads, you know, the under-23s are doing just phenomenal at the moment, aren't they? You know, I think they're a couple of games away from hopefully, you know, I think they're 5 points ahead, aren't they, with maybe two or three games to play. And they've been brilliant this year, and it's just, you know, I think that's just goes to show the great job, I think, that David Unsworth has gone in and done. You know, he's got, by all accounts, you know, great team spirit. They're playing some lovely stuff, and there's definitely two or three players there that hopefully will be, you know, coming on into the full Everton squad.
And Jay, a word on Joe Gomez, because he's got a call up to the under-21s. It's been a tough year and a half for him.
Well, yeah, he's had a few setbacks, hasn't he, the last couple of seasons. And, you know, it's been a slow burner, hasn't it, in getting back up to speed. And he's not played too many games. And I'm surprised, really, that he hasn't been given an opportunity. Because, you know, when you think about Liverpool this season, we've struggled defensively, haven't we? And we haven't been great, you know, since the turn of the year at all, have we? And there's been opportunity there for him to play. And instead, you know, Klopp's played Lucas there at times, hasn't he? And he's done all right. He's done well against Tottenham, but horrific against Leicester. And, you know, it makes you wonder, doesn't it, what's going on? Because, you know, Joe Gomez is obviously a centre-back. Lucas is not a centre-back, and he's been preferred over him. And he's played Clavin there as well. And, you know, it's frustrating with Lovren, because it's clear to see. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Lovren at all. I think he's pretty poor, and I'd sell him in the summer. But, you know, it seems that Klopp does like him, but he's not fit enough. He's always in and out the side, isn't he? You know, it's not good enough, really. And I think Joe Gomez is the one, isn't he, where, like, we've got high hopes for, but he's yet to be given a good run in the side. So, you know, it remains to be seen what goes on with Joe Gomez.
Win for the Reds on Sunday?
You know what? I'm not too sure. I mean, people say this is the type of game that Liverpool will win because, you know, against the top six sides, Liverpool come out on top. But I just think with City having a point to prove, and as I said before, with Henderson missing, I think we could get overrun in this field. So I'm expecting loads of goals, but, you know, maybe a 2-2 draw, I'd say, Steve.
Nice one, Jay. Mickey, hat-trick for Lukaku?
Yeah, hopefully. You know, thankfully, the goal-scoring sensation that is Omani Yas is not available for Hull, so that's a blessing in disguise, because it was a nappy he was going to come and score against us. But, yeah, be a strange reception. I would have thought that Lukaku's going to get, and it's, you know, that's the problem, that I think it's put a little bit of pressure on a game that we would have certainly expected to go ahead and win. You know, although Hull are fighting for their lives, they're usually, you know, decent at home. They're definitely a good home team, and their away record is not brilliant. But I just think with what's gone on this week, it's the pressure on the game, but hopefully we'll come away with the big one.
Radio City Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.